grateful to be able to be here with you. Thanks for letting us come, sharing some time with you. I'm sorry, it's on mute. All right. Is that not? Is that working?
Yes.
Brother Rod said something about thank you for coming. You bless us, encourage us, and I say amen when I come here and see you all. You bless me too, and I'm so glad to share serving the Lord with you. Amen. We're a family.
Yes.
We're blood bought, and there's a connection that we all share in this passion for our Lord, that when we start sharing the little things that the Lord has taught us in life, you ever notice sometimes Wednesday night comes around and the Lord has given you some special victory through the week, and maybe He's taught you something out of the Scripture, and it just is burning in your soul, and you come Wednesday night and you share that, and others hear that and say, I know what that means. I know in my heart what it means. And we share that, and it's one of those, a few of those heart ties that begin to bind us one after another. We share this and we recognize, well, we've got the same Father.
Yes.
We share the same experience of life. I start having a little trouble when people don't have any trials that they had to get victories over. And then we come Wednesday night, and Brother Tony one time shared a message that stuck with me for out these years. He talked about having wet wood. You know what? It's hard to build a fire out of wet wood. But when the Lord has given you some victory through the week, we come here together and we share those things together. These are things that just we tie. There's a vulnerability too that I think the Lord would have us to have, that we just share with each other. My brother, I've met that same thing too. And sometimes say, well, I don't know if I really got full victory over that yet, but I'm pressing on, I'm seeking, ask. And what you have to share sometimes on a Wednesday night is just maybe exactly what I needed. So I thank the Lord that we're able to come here together and share about our precious Lord. I would like to go over into the Book of John, Gospel of John. I'm going to turn to the very first chapter. Now, one of the things that the Lord has done for us is to bring salvation to the world. And I said that kind of quietly and kind of just said it. But folks, that fact ought to thrill our souls.
Yes,
that fact that Jesus, that God brought salvation down to you and I so that we might be free from all guilt of sin, that we might be forgiven, that we might be changed, become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and have our feet set upon a solid foundation with purpose, with real purpose. Not just wondering, not knowing which way we're going, but I believe the Lord would have us to know Him and the power,
yes,
of His resurrection. That we might feel that constant daily working of that power and His authority over other powers in our heart. That we might feel that on a daily basis. That we might experience Him not afar, not at a long ways off, that it's no longer just theory, but it's a practical reality. That I know my God is real. Reminds me of some words of a song that stated it this way. You must feel the winds of the trial to know the victory. And I believe there's a truth in that. You don't really know the preciousness of how sweet the Lord can be until you find Him when you're walking in the real trial. The disciples never knew Jesus so greatly as what they did when they were trying to get to the other side in a boat in the middle of a storm, and Jesus was sleeping, and they were frustrated with everything about life and a little frustrated with Him. Don't you care that we are about to die? And in that moment, He stood up and said, "Where's your faith?" And then He looked out. "I know the master of the wind." He looked out to all that was going on, the winds, the waves, and everything that was seemingly about ready to swallow them. And He just said, "Peace, be still." I like to think He may have said it in a very calm voice. You know, sometimes we think we've got to demand authority. He had authority. He didn't have to prove it to anybody. He just had to say it. The wind has no ears, but it knows the voice of the master. And it calmed down. That's the King we have. The one we're getting ready to read some of the story was there. He saw eyewitness. He saw so much that the King, this Lord and Savior that you and I look to with such gratitude tonight, He saw this firsthand. We want to share some things that it's revealing to me somehow that He viewed what many people just viewed as nothing more than a man. When Jesus walked this earth, many people viewed Him as nothing more than an interesting man. And I'm not sure, at some points the disciples in the beginning, they may not have, I'm sure they didn't comprehend the fullness of Him at that point. But as they walked with Him, they began to know Him in a greater measure. And more revelation, more understanding began to dawn across their heart and their mind. And He meant more to them. And when that understanding began to bloom greater in their minds, it called out from them a greater response. If He is the King of glory, I need to worship Him. And they did. "Whom say you that I, the Son of Man, am?" Remember the challenge. Who do people say? Well, they've got a lot of opinions out there. You know the story. But He brought it down to them. He said, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter responded and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember, I'm sorry, I'm digressing some. But it's another important point I like to think of how, remember the woman, Samaritan woman at the well. You remember what was all going on there? And Jesus talked to her about a well springing up within her. Very foreign ideas, something that would satisfy. Something, if you knew what I had to give you, and if you drank of this water, you will never thirst again. So, well, I want that. This well is 130 some feet deep, and I'm a little tired of pulling this out. I don't have to come here anymore, so give me. And then Jesus started talking with her on a very spiritual level and began to give her food, began to give her drink. That she didn't know before really what. And that later on, as Jesus began to deal with her, she said, "I know that Messiah is going to come. And when He comes, He's going to tell us all things." And Jesus looked at her and said, "He who's speaking with you, I'm Him. What a clear declaration. He's the Son of God. So, as we begin to look at this, I'm intrigued by the way a man who walked with him and who went through probably all the steps of being intrigued with the man that he called Jesus, but he came to honor him as Lord and Savior and Master. And he recommends him to you and I today. Let's start off with John number 1, first chapter. Excuse my cough. In the beginning was the Word. He chose to start it off like that. I believe that all the Jews around would say, yes, I believe it was. In the beginning was the Word, because they knew the account that Moses had brought down to them. And it said, in the beginning, the Lord, remember what He did? He created, spoke it into existence. There was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And this, the way it's spelled here, in the beginning was the Word, a capital at the beginning of that word, capitalized Word. That had a certain reality, and he was tying it to not just the thought of words that floating out, but this was a personage that came here and stood before them and acted in all holy manner, in all righteousness, in all authority and power, conducted himself with more than just a human presentation. But there was something here that he brought that actually inspired hope to a man, any man who would bring themselves to him, but one who didn't even know how to bring himself in real entreaty to the Lord. Remember Legion? That man had no hope until hope came to his shore.
Yes.
And then he had tremendous hope. In the beginning was this all-powerful Word that has not stopped existing. I know that us as humans face things. Every once in a while in life, it seems overwhelming and we don't know how to handle it. And that has always been true. But to those who have learned to bring it to the Master. And I won't tell you that every time we bring something to the Master, that it will turn out exactly the way I want it to happen. If I was going to try to tell you that, I would be actually laying a trap for your feet, because it won't always turn out exactly like you wish it. But I'll tell you what the Lord can do through the process. That Word can reveal Himself to us in that process with utter grace and authority and love and power and direction. In the beginning was the Word. I need to go on and read some more. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness, it says, comprehended it not. When you study into the meaning of this word, you know, we think comprehending means understanding. It was more than that in this setting. When you read, it's not just a matter of the darkness didn't comprehend it. Though at that time, the light shone and there were many people in darkness that didn't understand and didn't grasp. But there were many Jewish people who should have been enlightened, but they didn't comprehend it. But on a different level, darkness can never overcome this light. It can't wrap its arms around and say, no, you can't come here, because when light comes, darkness flees. As it is also with our Lord. There is nothing the devil has of authority over him. When darkness is there, and it may try its best to say, there is, I don't want you here. Legion, all those devils there try to say, don't come here and torment us. But he came there and cast them out. And on a very personal level, when the Lord comes, he comes with a very express purpose of bringing light and hope and direction and understanding. And again, young folks, not just young folks, but especially our young folks, I want our young folks to be able to have a foundation and purpose in life that they build on. That they have a real unshakable foundation that they begin to build their lives and their future and their hopes on. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God. Kind of shifts to another scene here. Now this is Brother John, again, telling this story. I think a little bit about him. Who was his brother? You know, they were known as the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. John, I look at his character, and it seemed like he was such a loving and a kind, and he had this mix of strength and kindness that I really like about Brother John. And here he was, he leaned on Jesus' breast. He was there, and he had the moments, I'm sure, of wondering what's going on. When Jesus was being tried and before his crucifixion, it seems evident by his writing that he was one of those sitting there watching, quietly perhaps over in a corner, watching what's going on. Perhaps wrestling with the doubt of the moment and what, see, the shepherd was being smitten and they were all being tested and scattered, and he was there. And he wrestled with it, and folks, we're not very much different. We go through these things, do we not? Now, I can ask for your hands and ask you, which one of you just never have any real struggles and don't have any doubts that you, anything that you wrestle with? And if you raise your hand, I'm going to doubt you. Because I think when we walk with the Lord, we're going to go through, just like the disciples did, just like all the others that we find, they came through moments of decision that they had to make. Isn't that what even Jesus said? Maybe Brother Rod mentioned a little bit of it this evening when he said, where are you going to go? I don't have any. There's where, Lord, will I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The decision was made. But they have to, like we do, we wrestle with some of that. So, this Brother John now is sharing these things that he gleaned in his understanding now. And he just is proclaiming to us very strongly, very, very definitely, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is pointing a picture now at Jesus Christ and saying, this one was in the beginning with God, and he's here. And he didn't have an expiration date on that. He's still here. He's still real. He is still taking our lives and stands before us as the Almighty God, as the Word of God that comes down to help you and I where we walk today. Now, he is bringing in this this understanding about somebody else who is actually part of prophecy, entered in to go before the Lord, to make straight his paths. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to hear. The same came for a witness. Forgive me. I don't have my glasses and I'm having a difficult time. They are out in the van, but I forgot to bring them in. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. That's the reason why he came. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This is speaking of John. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Think about that for a little bit. I don't think there is a soul that doesn't have a certain amount of responsibility that we have to God, because he has enlightened. He has come to share some of his truth that sinks down in every one of our hearts. Now, I hope tonight that there's nobody in here that says, I just need the pastor, I need the ministers to get together and just tell me what to do. And I understand there's times that we feel like we just need some guidance, and I'm not cutting that off. But there's a spiritual place that God wants to own in every one of our hearts that another man cannot feel. There is a personalization of this light that comes down from God that is real, that we might know Him. Him. That we might know Him. And the power that's there. And the authority and the grace that's there. And all that is encompassed in this reality of the Word that's being made flesh and dwells among us. That has impact on our life. That comes to heal and save, to forgive, to clean up, to make us a new creature in Christ Jesus, to give us purpose and direction in life. He's still doing that. I think. Thank you. I know this may not be the most exciting, but I hope our minds come. Let's reason together. Let's consider what this means to us in our daily lives. We need Him as a reality in our life. We need to see Him as God that's high and lifted up. The one that hears and understands, that has brought down Emmanuel, that has come down God with us and given us counsel and direction. So this John, he said he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man, every one of us, have a certain responsibility, and the Lord would exact of that of us that responsibility to give back to Him honor that is due His name, that we understand. And as we walk in that, I believe He'll shine the light on our pathway, that we might more fully walk in His ways. He is in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. I wonder how many times such great power can be right next to us, such greatness, and we only see Him as a man. Or we take Him for granted. I wonder how many times, have you ever, And I encourage us, whatever the Lord, if He's done something for you, something great. The other day, somebody gave a testimony that they had come to an intersection, and they didn't see, it was a four-way stop, and there was nobody that they saw around, and they got ready to proceed into the intersection. There was something, and this little voice said, "Stop!" And they stopped, and a vehicle went sailing through the intersection right in front of them, which likely would have at least resulted in severe injury, if not death. And they came and said, "Thank you, Lord." We were all rejoicing right along with them. But I also like it when somebody comes to Wednesday night prayer meeting and says, "The Lord help me find my keys." Or something very, what we would generally see, very small. I say, "Lord, help us to tune our hearts a little better. To see the little things. What we perceive as little. That's God coming to reveal Himself." Seeing is something greater than just a coincidental matter of life. No, it's purposeful. The things that He does for us, the way He reveals Himself to us, is intended to tender our heart and to draw us close to Him with a loving hand. But as many He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Which to me is a sad commentary, but we're not much different today. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become... What? What does it say right here? Listen to what John, who walked with Him, who saw the waves stilled, who saw that blind eyes opened, who saw all the mighty works of the Lord. And now He's saying to them who came, who believed on Him, to them He gave power to become sons of God. That's different than being a blood Jew. That's greater than that. This is a kinship with the holy God of heaven. He's my Father. And I hope that somehow that reality sinks into all of our hearts, that He is not just a God afar, but I see Thee, Lord, within. Oh, shine in me, Thou morning star, and keep this temple clean. God would have us to see Him as a reality that we can grasp and know. That we can feel His working within our very soul. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. For we are born not of blood. It's not my Jewish heritage or any other heritage. It's not the length, perhaps, of, you know, I can look back and I can tell you some of the spiritual lineage of my family. And I can tell you the stories when my grandpa Johnson had turned his heart over to the Lord and got saved. And that came down through one line of my family. I was told when my grandpa Beasley had gotten saved and how it changed him, how he had been one of those that went out and was doing some carousing. And there's different stories he... And He's changed. I'm grateful I didn't know that part of Him. I can tell about on the other, another side of it. But that doesn't save my soul. Amen. It's not lineage. It's not heritage. All that might be a blessing. It's a good thing. It was a good thing to have the law, to be a Jew, be exposed to that schoolmaster that would prepare their heart for the receiving of this light, of this word that was made flesh. That was a wonderful thing that they had. And it's a wonderful thing to come and be raised around the saints and be exposed to all the truth, all the the protective doctrine that's preached, the truth that is expounded to us. I like it. It's wonderful because it's protective and it's good. But I want more than that. I want to know the author. I want to know him as a reality. He's my father. I don't mean by saying that God wants us to see him cavalierly or anything like that. But no, I am humbled when I recognize what a mighty King our God is. What a mighty sovereign God that he is. I am amazed that greatness has come down to me. And I can call him Father. And that I can talk with him. Did you know you can talk with your father? You can talk with him.
Yes, amen.
Young people, I'm not telling you that you're always going to have the experience of just this euphoric moment of just communing with the Lord, but you're going to have some of those if you follow. You're going to have some of those. Some of the most precious moments that I can remember in my whole life is those times when I've been out with my Lord. And I always, yes, I like praying with my eyes closed, but there have been many a time when I'm out with my Lord. And I've been out in the pasture alone, just me and him. And my eyes were wide open and I was just talking with him. And he shared things there that I didn't get. And I want us to come together in settings like this. But oh, there's something personal when you're out there. And you're talking with one who loves you. And such counsel that he gives and how clarity, the mind becomes clear. And all that had been muddled in my thinking before and wondering how, it just, when he's there, when my Savior talks with me, what wonder. It is absolutely satisfying to the soul. It is confirming that this indeed is right. It settles you in your mind. It settles your feet on the path and gives you a song. It's wonderful. Our Father. Isn't that what Jesus said? The disciples said, tell us how to pray. He said, start it off like this. Our Father, which art in heaven. There is a acknowledgement, not just an acknowledgement, but a owning. I'm your child. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Such honor to your name. This is the one who wants to walk with every one of us in our lives now, in this world, in this present evil and wicked world. And we like to think, and yes, wickedness seems to be increasing, and we see things out there that really trouble us. I understand that. But I've never seen the Lord not be able to keep a man who's willing to walk with him. I've never seen the darkness prevent it. I've never seen the darkness overcome. And that heart, and that one who calls him Father, and that one who walks with him and communes with him as Adam and Eve did in the garden, that's back now. We have access to our Father. But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory
of the only begotten of the Father. That bracketed phrase in the middle of this verse, I would like now to go back to the beginning of the verse and maybe forego the bracketed phrase there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's what John saw. John says, I was there. I have right to say it. He dwelled among us, full of grace and truth. When he spoke something, we knew it was right. Now, if I came to you and told you, brother, you've got something wrong in your heart, you're doing something wrong, you may have a hard time taking that from me. In fact, likely you will, because of our human nature. But whenever our Father comes down, He does it differently. He does it so clearly, so personally, in such a way that when He says it, I'm not discouraged. I'm just convinced. I'm convicted. I know what He said was right. I believe. When Brother John looked out at the people and he began to preach, and remember what the center focus of his message was, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When he began to tell them to repent, I believe the Jews who had been actually going to the temple and doing their sacrifices, doing all that they had been told to do perhaps, and done it in such a pattern of, well, we just do it every day. You know, so it's habit. So we're going to do it. And somehow they missed the reality of what it was meant to bring to them. And I believe when John came and looked at those same ones who said, "Well, I've done that all for my youth. What lack I yet?" You know, they came feeling pretty good about themselves. But when John looked at them and said, "Repent," I believe they begin to recognize that all the things they had been doing really wasn't changing how they were treating their brother. There were some basic things that had built up in their life. There were some attitudes that had built there, something that held them from the tender, humble approach to the Lord. And their hearts had grown hard and self-righteous and had built up and stood up in their own strength. And they saw something that salvation is of the Jews, and I'm a Jew, so I have right. Abraham is my father. And in the middle of that comes John saying, "Repent." And I believe in their heart, as they looked toward each other, they likely looked at each other and said, "Brother, you know he's telling the truth. We need to repent. We haven't been doing it right. We've been exacting things. I've been peeking around this beam in my eye and believing that you're the worst person around here when they have their own. We've got it backwards. We need to look at ourselves. We need the truth. He's full of grace and truth. He confronts us with." And tonight, in His loving mercy, He confronts us where we are. Now listen, confrontation, a lot of times we think, He has a way of convincing us that is so lovingly and so completely true that we feel more like saying, "Yes, Lord, you're right." You ever notice that? Our Lord is full of grace and full of truth. And He takes you and I in our life, and sometimes our excuses seem to be so well put together, and surely there's not a loophole in my reasoning. It's for somebody else, but my reasoning here is just really pretty rock solid. But when I get before the Lord, all that seems, He's full of grace and truth. Thank God that He doesn't let us get by. He is truly a Heavenly Father.
He is truly one who takes you and I in our incompleteness. I don't know how else to say it. Holy walk, but we're not complete yet. He takes you in your holy walk and works to complete you and prepare you and me that we might ripen for heaven, and that when we see Him face to face, we won't have reason to hang our head. Time has gotten away and I must hurry on. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." I've wondered sometimes, why did John start off his gospel in this manner? But I love it. "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Have you ever asked the Lord, "Lord, I need more grace. Lord, this one's... Lord, they meant to hurt me. Lord, this is just too much. You're asking. You know, they did slap me on that cheek, and they meant to. And you're saying, turn the other one? Lord, you don't understand." He said, "Our Father has grace for grace." I believe the Lord is able to enable you and I to face those hard places and come out the other side with victory. Jesus wouldn't have said the things that He said if He didn't have grace for us. I believe that Jesus said that we might learn not to be governed or controlled by my carnal passions, but that those carnal passions would be brought into subjection to our Lord, and that we might be fly free. Folks, there's nobody so bound as the one who is subject to his passions. But when the carnal man is crucified, we bring that to Christ. We bring that and submit that to Him. He has grace for grace. He has something special for every one of us. And I know there's maybe other ways you could read that verse, but I want to apply that to us tonight. God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has brought us a great power and authority, that He's brought grace to you and I, and He has the ability to enable and grace us for other things, whatever we face in life. There's nothing too hard for our Lord. Well, I need to go on. "And of His fullness have we all received, in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You know, I don't really have time to go on to cover more in this chapter. But I hope tonight that somehow we will begin to realize what God has done for us. Please see it more than just a nice theory that we've always taught and preached. See it as reality in my heart. It's something more than what my parents taught, and it's what we should teach our children. I'm not saying don't do that. But at some point, God wants us to know Him. I don't believe you'll ever understand the reality of the doctrines that we teach without knowing Him. It'll get muddled in our mind, many things, but we know Him, and things begin to make more sense. The reality
Because that's where it all blooms from, is Him and His action. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And He's full of grace and truth. And He has grace for grace. And as many as came to Him, He gave them a power to become sons of God. That's not a theory for someone else. That's mine tonight. That's my reality. Can we say, yes, Lord, thank you. Precious Heavenly Father. Now tomorrow is the day that we call Thanksgiving. Tonight we really ought to thank the Lord for what He's done. For what He has brought to you and I. It's more, much more than a nice meal. And that's a good item. That's fine. But what is the greatest thing that we can have is the peace in our soul. And knowing that Prince of Peace as a reality. I'll use this description. When you first get married, you're full of love and it's so special and you know each other well enough, at least, that you decide that you're going to come together and live. You give vows to each other till death do us part. But when you started, you didn't really know the other one very well. You knew him. Perhaps you thought you knew him pretty well at that moment, but give it 30 years. Give it 40. Or more. There's some here that's got a lot more years on them than that in their marriage. And thank God for it. But we can all testify that I know my spouse much better today than what I did when I said I do. And when you say I do to the Lord, and all His reality, it's special, it's wonderful. You got saved, you rejoice. There's a joy of the Lord in your soul. But that's just the beginning. Keep on walking with Him. And then you might be able to sing or even write a song like kind of like this. Sweeter gets a journey every day, knowing Jesus really pays. I'm happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets a journey every day. And this is what I want to encourage you. I'm telling you this. Some of you young ones, you're hearing it more as a theory, perhaps. But would you take it some from me? I've experienced it. And I'm not the only one here. There's many here can say, yes, that's right. I've walked with the Lord and found Him real and true. And I've heard His voice and felt His touch. And He's real. He didn't just come out of that grave it's not just a theory that other people told me about, but I know He came out of that grave because I put my hand in the scars. I've touched Him. I don't need to anymore. I've heard His voice. It means something. Oh, whatever your future, whatever waters we sail into in your future, you're going to need somebody that you know. You're going to need the reality of God in your life. To overcome the devil, to live holy and righteous in this present world, you're going to need somebody you know. Somebody is more than just what... Thank the Lord for pastors and teachers and Brother Rod. Thank the Lord for all that. They help. It's good. But there's nothing really is meant to replace knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.